Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Thursday night, Extended Hands of God Highway Ministry. We got Pastor Aaron Powers from Gate City Church of God over in Greensboro, North Carolina, and it is absolutely a miracle that this man is here tonight to give us the word. Glad you're here, brother.
Hey, man, I'm glad to be here. I'm going to go ahead and start tonight with asking Brother Skip if he would start off with singing a song, one of my absolute favorite of all time, Peace in the Valley.
All right, brother, thank you. We're so tired and so weary, but I must go alone till the Lord, he comes and calls me away, oh, yes. Where the morning so bright and the Lamb is alive, and the night is as bright as the day, oh yes. There will be peace in the valley for me someday. There will be peace in the valley for me, oh Lord, I pray. There'll be no sadness, no sorrow, Lord, no trouble I see. There will be peace in the valley for me, oh yes. Well, the bear will be gentle, and the wolf will be tame, and the lion shall lay down by the lamb, oh yes. And the beast of the wild shall be led by the child, and I'll be changed from this creature that I am, oh yes. There will be peace in the valley for me someday. There will be peace in the valley for me, oh Lord, I pray. There'll be no sadness, no sorrow, Lord, no trouble I see. There'll be no sadness, no sorrow, Lord, no trouble I see. There will be peace in the valley for me, oh yes. Amen.
Amen. Wonderful. Thank you, Brother Skip, for bringing
Thank
that
you.
Song tonight.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. God bless me. God bless my heart thoroughly with that song. Now, Brother Tim's going to bring a song as well. I'm looking forward to hearing a song from Brother Tim.
Amen. Well, I wonder, so aimless, life filled with sin, I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light. I saw the light. No more in darkness. No more in night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I walked in darkness and clouds covered me. I had no idea where the way out would be. Then came the sunrise and rolled back the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light. I saw the light. No more in darkness. no more at night. Now I'm so happy, but sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Just like a blind man, I wandered alone. Worries and fears, I prayed for my own. Then like the blind man, when God gave back his sight, praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light. I saw the light. No more in darkness, no more in night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I was a fool to wander and stray, for straight is the gate and narrow's the way. Now I have traded the wrong for the right. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more in darkness, no more in night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Oh church, I saw the light, I saw the light. No more in darkness, no more in night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
Amen, amen, glory to God. Brother Tim, thank you for obeying God. That was a beautiful, wonderful song. Amen. Now, Sister Shelly's going to bring us a song tonight. Looking forward to hearing what the Lord's laid on her heart.
As I kneel in the darkness, in the middle of the night, I'm praying for assurance, everything is going to be all right. Lord, I see another battle out in front of me. I'm afraid I won't be able, and I'll go down in defeat. He said, do you remember where I brought you from? Just take a look behind you at how far you've come. And every time you ask me, didn't I deliver you? So why will you be thinking I wouldn't see you through? Didn't I walk on the water, and I calmed the raging sea? I spoke to the wind, and it hushed, and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you, just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven, just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I'd do it all again. Now she's talking to her father in a house that was once a home. She said, my bills are coming due, Lord, and 6 days is not that long. She hears a voice so soft and low. He says, I've moved like that before, and I'll do this little thing, and know I'll give you so much more. Didn't I walk on the water, and I calmed the raging sea? I spoke to the wind, and it hushed, and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you, just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven, just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I'd do it all again. Didn't I leave all of heaven, just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I'd do it all again. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. This is wonderful tonight, and I tell you, God is really blessed. And I want to go ahead and get into the Word, and if I have the breath to do it tonight, I may sing at the end, but I want to bring the Word tonight on the topic, Counterfeit Lions versus the Real Deal. And tonight, before I get started, I want to just go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, tonight I love you. Lord, you're all I've got, you're all I want, and you're all I need. Lord, tonight I ask you to give me strength. Lord, in my weakness, let your strength be made perfect. Lord Jesus, I thank you for making up for all of my failures and all of my faults, giving me the perfection of peace tonight and the beauty of holiness as I bring the Word of God to the people of God, a timely message for this hour. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. This is the first message that I have preached since my motorcycle accident on April 11th. On April the 11th, it was the worst motorcycle accident, the worst vehicle accident I have ever been in. And frankly, child of God, I nearly went on to be with the Lord. As a matter of fact, at the end of the service, I want to tell you just a little bit more about what the Lord did for me at that day. But I want to begin with scripture found in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. And it reads this way, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." I want to read that again. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Tonight I want to bring a message titled again, Counterfeit Lions versus the Real Deal. Let's start off by saying tonight that truth is a powerful force. Truth is not relative. There is absolute truth. The sky is blue at times. The sky is wonderful variation of colors at times, but the sky is still the sky, regardless of whether it's blue in the beautiful daytime or black with the stars in the beautiful nighttime, whether it's the colors of the sun setting in the evening or the brightness of the glory of the rising sun in the morning, it's still the sky. We can go outside all day long and say, that is not the sky, that is the ground, and it's still the sky. It's the absolute truth that the sky is the sky, the sun is the sun all day long. There is an absolute truth. Jesus Christ is God, absolute truth, period. The Word of God is established forever, and it cannot fail, and it will not fail, and it never has failed, and there'll never be a time when it can fail. It is absolute truth. The truth is a powerful force. When it's unleashed, it holds within it the power to set the captive free, to justify the accused, to liberate the bruised, to even bring the transgressor to redemption. It also has the power to bring judgment upon the guilty. Now, I tell you the truth takes many roads. Yes, it does. Right now, there are many people listening to this message who are carrying the truth of the gospel on the highways. Right now, many roads. But not all roads lead to the truth. And if it's not the truth, then it's a lie. Somebody once said, "I didn't tell a lie, I told a half-truth." Well, as my grandmother used to say, a half-truth is a whole lie all day long. So with that being said, I want to talk about one of the greatest lies that's been perpetrated against the human race. And that's this modern day that we live, this postmodern American culture in which we live. The devil has convinced a lot of people that he is not real. My beloved brothers and sisters, as we read earlier in the Bible, in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, the devil is real. He is in the world, and he's seeking the lost and the weak and the stragglers from the flock. Notice the Bible says that the devil goes about as a roaring lion. In literature, it tells us that a simile is a comparison using like or as, meaning the devil is not a roaring lion like he wants us to believe he is. He's hungry, dying lion, who's about to be put down by the sword of the Word of God, who is Jesus Christ our Lord. He is not all-powerful. The devil is not all-powerful. No, he is not. The devil is not, but God is all-powerful. The devil is not all-knowing. No, he is not. The Bible tells us if he had only known that by crucifying Christ he was going to set the world free, he wouldn't have done it. He is not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere at the same time, but God is a man. So soon the devil is going to be put down for good. Soon. Soon, hallelujah, I feel my strength coming on. Soon, the Lord is going to return and put the devil down for good. So today, I want to examine the counterfeit versus the real thing. Let's first look at the counterfeit lion. There's not much more dangerous than a lion who's about to die, especially one that's dying of hunger. Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 7 says, the lion has come up from his thicket. The destroyer of the Gentiles is on his way. He has gone forth from his place to make thy land desolate, and the cities shall be laid waste without an inhabitant. He is a destroyer. John 10:10, part A, the first part says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Psalm chapter 10, verse 9 says, he lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth them into his net. Psalm chapter 17, verse 12 says, like as a lion that is greedy of his prey, and as it were a young lion lurking in the secret places. He's lying in wait looking for the weak to pick them off from the herd. He sounds ferocious, but he's really a coward. Yes, he sounds tough, but he's limited in his power. The devil wants you to think he has power over you, but he is nothing more than a bellowing, blathering bully. And you can defeat him. And you may be saying, no, no, Pastor, I can't defeat him. Well, yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can because, as a matter of fact, he's already been defeated. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, hallelujah, says Jesus spoiled principalities and powers. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in his cross. Hallelujah and amen forevermore. We serve a risen Savior who has defeated Satan forever. Hallelujah. Now, there's a formula for being free from the grasp of the enemy. You can only defeat the devil by the formula found in James chapter 4 and verse 7. It says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Submit. There's a word people don't want to hear anymore. Submission. Wow. Submission. Submit to God. You cannot defeat the devil if you're not willing to submit to God. Period. If we're not bowed our knee at an old-fashioned altar of forgiveness, and Jesus Christ is now our Lord and Savior, and we've submitted our lives to him for now and forevermore, then there's no possible way we can defeat the devil. Because if we have not made Christ our master, then the devil is our master. If Christ is not our Lord, then we're not on our way to heaven. Everybody, I hate to say this, I hate it with all my heart because I want to see hell empty and heaven full. But everybody will not accept Jesus Christ. Everybody will not accept him. But Jesus, knowing that people would reject him, still died for the lost. He still died for all. So we must submit to God. Once we are knowledgeable of the fact that we needed a Savior, we have to submit to that Savior in order to be saved. Well, let's put it this way. How do I submit to God? Acts chapter 2, verse 21 says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's see. Whosoever. Now, I'm not a Greek scholar, but I'm going to tell you what whosoever means. It means whosoever. I'm not a Greek scholar, but I know that all means all. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved means just that. If you'll call on Jesus' name, he will save your never-dying soul. This is repeated in Romans chapter 10, verse 13. So nice, God said it twice. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Peter said it to the church at Jerusalem, to the Jews in Acts, and in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, Paul said it to the Gentiles. Whosoever, Jew, Gentile, bond or free, male or female, makes no difference, red or yellow, black or white. We're precious in his sight, and whoever, if you'll call on his name, you'll be saved. Call out to him and believe upon his name and give your life to him. The Bible says if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, you'll be saved. Call out to the real lion. The real lion. Resist the devil. And watch him run in terror, because the real lion, the real deal, the Son of God, will start fighting on your behalf. Which leads me to point number two, the real lion. Notice what Jesus said about the counterfeit lion in John 10:10. Jesus said, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. All right, Paul Harvey, what's the rest of the story? But Jesus, completing his thought, said, I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. That's the real lion. That's the real deal talking right there. When somebody tells you that the devil's fighting them, or if you feel like the devil's fighting you, quote to them Romans 8:31. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Because, child of God, if you're called from the darkness into the marvelous light of Jesus Christ, and you have submitted your knee, you bowed your knee to Jesus Christ, then you're called to be like Christ. And if God, if Christ be for you, who can be against you? Well, let's flip the reciprocal of that. If God be against you, who can be for you? And that's exactly what you can tell the devil. If God is on my side, hallelujah, whom shall I fear when the enemy comes in like a flood? My God shall raise up a standard against him. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. So if you are a Christian, you've been called to be Christ-like. Logically, if you're a Christian, you're a follower of the Lord. Jesus is the Lord, and since he's the Lord, if you're following him, Hosea chapter 11, verse 10 says, they shall walk after the Lord, they shall roar like a lion. When he shall roar, the children shall tremble from the west. Glory to God. That means that God's going to give you the ability to preach the word, because, hallelujah, against the devil, because the only thing that defeats the temptations of the enemy, the only thing that defeats the wiles of the devil, the only thing that defeats Satan is the word of God. Hallelujah. The Lord will fight on your behalf, and your weapon is the word of God, the sword. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord will destroy that fake counterfeit lion, and the Lord will beat back the foes that have sought to tear your life and take your ministry, to take your, hallelujah, to take what you've been trying to do for God. That my Lord is an ever-present help in time of trouble, and he'll come upon the scene when the devil comes against you. Jesus Christ is there. Hallelujah. Some of you this very month, including myself, the devil has sought to sift us as wheat, sought to take us out of this world. But when we needed him, Jesus showed up right on time. I serve a living Savior. I serve a risen Lord. He's in the world today. I know that he is living. No matter what men say, I feel his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always there. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. Job chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. It says, by the blast of God they perish, by the breath of his nostrils they are consumed. The roaring of the lion and the voice of the fierce lion and the teeth of the young lions are broken. The old lion perisheth for lack of prey, and the stout lion's whelps are scattered abroad. Praise God. Again, I tell you, if God be for you, who can be against you? And today, again, I put Satan, I put Satan on notice. Devil, if God be for me,
you can't be against me. And if God be against you, they ain't nothing, no place you can hide, no place to run, nowhere to run to, baby, and nowhere to hide, because my Lord shall fight my battle. Hallelujah. Amen. And praise the Lord. Now, I'm going to slow down just a minute. Because God doesn't expect me to do nothing while he's fighting. Uh-oh. That was all well and good until I told you you had to do something. Just because God's fighting on your behalf, that doesn't mean that he will do all the work for you. James' epistle said to submit and resist. Right? That means that Jesus will give you the power to fight the devil, that fake lion, just like he does. Oh, no, preacher. Oh, no. Yes, yes, person listening. Oh, yes. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 20. And Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts, slew two lion-like men of Moab, and he went down also and slew a lion in the midst of the pit in the time of the snow. Now, what does that mean, preacher? That means, even if the devil's a lion-like man, even if whatever form the devil shows up in, it doesn't matter. Your God will give you the strength that you need to stand. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. Glory. You may be saying, Brother Powers, but the devil that fights me is so big. You might even say, Brother Powers, that it's gigantic. Well, let me tell you something about a little shepherd boy. He said something about a giant that he faced. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 37, David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And the Lord was with him. And we know it because David climbed up on the chest of that old big bully and cut his head off. Yes, he did. Matter of fact, that story bears repeating. That the giant standing out there, and he's blathering and bellering, and he's yelling out, and he's saying, who's going to come and fight me? You know what he's saying. He is defying the armies of the living God. And David comes out there on the scene, and he says, look, boy. He says, I'm going to climb up your face, your chest. I'm going to slap you in the face. I'm going to cut your head off. Oh, no, that ain't what it said, preacher. Well, exactly what it says. He says, I shall smite thee, and I shall take thy head from thee. That means I'm going to climb up on your chest, I'm going to slap you in the face, cut your head off. That's just modern-day powersism way of saying it. But he did. And so the Goliath says this. He says, am I a dog that you're going to come at me with sticks? Well, yeah, you're a dog. The devil is a dog on a chain, and there's nothing that he can do to stop the power of God from yanking that chain back and putting that old boy in his place while you do the whooping. Praise the Lord. Now, what happened? David ran at Goliath, let loose of that sling, that rock hit him in the head, so he smote him like he said he would. And then when Goliath fell down on the ground, David took Goliath's own sword, and he stood up on his chest, and he cut his head off, just as he said he would, by the power of an almighty God. Do not today, church, be afraid to declare that God is doing something in your life. Don't be afraid to stand up and say, I am victorious by the power of an almighty God. Don't be afraid to stand up and put Satan on notice and say, I'm tired of being beat up. I'm tired of being pushed down. I'm tired of you taking everything I got. I'm tired of you taking what the Lord has given to me. I'm coming into your camp. I'm coming on the enemy territory. I'm pushing back the powers of darkness by the forces of light, by the word of God, by the blood of Jesus, by the name of Jesus Christ. I'm pushing back the powers of darkness, and I'm taking back every single thing that you stole from me. And I'm not only going to take back what you stole from me, but my Bible also reads that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. So I'm taking back everything you stole from my mama, everything you stole from my daddy, from my brothers and my sisters, and I'm going to take from you just like the children of Israel took, hallelujah, from Egypt when they left that place. Buddy, they went in there paupers, but they came out kings. I'm coming out of this valley. I don't care what it takes. I'm coming out of this valley, and I'm coming out better than I was when I went in this thing. Why can I say that? I can say that because I have submitted myself unto God. I'm resisting the devil, and he's going to flee from me. The word flee there in the Greek means run in terror. He is going to run in terror because of not me, but because of the God that stands up and rises up before me when I stand up in the battle. Hallelujah. Paul said in Ephesians 6 and 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Glory to God. I got to ask you, have you submitted unto him? Do you know your God? Because regardless of whether or not that you have bowed the knee to him, he's still God. Regardless of whether or not you've asked him to forgive you, he's still God. And eventually, you will meet God. Eventually, you'll meet him face to face. Why not now? Why not now? Because the only way that you can fight and win against the devil is to know your God. Daniel chapter 11, verse 32 said, and such as do wickedly against the covenant, it shall be corrupt by flatteries. But the people who do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. If you've made Jehovah your God, then no matter how bad it seems, God has not forgotten you. He knows your name. He's got your number. And because he knows who you are and he knows where you are and that you're his, you cannot fail. If you will abide in Jesus Christ, if you'll stay in Jesus, no matter what happens to you, he will protect you. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 26 says, lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth, but Brother Powers. I'm one of the weak ones that the devil picks on. Well, you don't have to stay that way. The Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29 says, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. How, Pastor, will God do this? I'll tell you how he'll do it. I've already quoted this scripture once, and I think it bears repeating. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. By his spirit he will give you power. Power to do what? Oh, I'm so glad you asked. Psalm chapter 91, verse 13. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder and the young lion and the dragon. Shalt thou trample underfoot. Luke chapter 10, verse 19, behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Why? Because greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Because the protective power of God for his children reaches from the guttermost to the uttermost. How can this be? Because he's in everywhere, on time, all-powerful, ever-present help in time of trouble, God, that'll never fail you, that'll never leave you, that'll never forsake you, but he'll go with you always, even unto the end. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Glory to God. Now I'm closing. Don't take that to heart. I don't know how long it'll be that I'll close. John the Revelator, St. John the Beloved, John the Disciple, John the Apostle, the great man of God, the disciple whom Jesus loved. He was condemned. He was exiled on the Isle of Patmos as a political prisoner for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Folks, John suffered for Jesus' sake. They tortured him, tried to get him to recant his eyewitness testimony of the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus Christ. but he refused. He was thrown into boiling oil, and he emerged from that boiling oil alive. Then a sharpened spoon-like instrument was heated red hot in red hot coals, so it was just as red hot as those red hot coals. It was placed in the corners of his eyes, and his eyes were scooped out like grapes while the fluid in his eyes began to boil as they plucked them out of his head. But he refused to recant his story and his testimony of Jesus Christ. How could he refuse the one he loved so much? This is the same John that went with Jesus all the way to the cross, that took care of Jesus' mother. That this is the same John that Jesus leaned upon. Listen, church, he saw the man every day. John had lived with Jesus. He walked with him. He talked with him. He fished with him. He laughed with him. He wept with him. He ate meals with him. He slept on the same ground Jesus slept on, right next to Jesus. Never left him all the way to the cross. Every other disciple forsook him. John was there. He was the first apostle to reach the tomb after the two Marys reports of the risen Savior. John could not forget what the real lion had done for him, no matter what the counterfeit lion was doing to him. Let me repeat that. John could not forget what the real lion had done for him, no matter what the counterfeit lion had done to him. See, John's happiness was not based upon his circumstances. In John's revelation of Jesus, chapter 1, verses 10 through 12, part A, we find these words, and I'm going to paraphrase just a little bit. John said, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in the book." Now, Jesus just told a blind man with no eyes, what you're going to see, you're going to write down. He says, "Now, and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, Smyrna, to Pergamos, Thyatira, to Sardis, and Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea." John says, "And I turned to see." That's faith, child of God. Having no eyes, he turned to see. He did not waver in his faith, not one single iota. When the voice of Jesus Christ said, "I am the Alpha Omega," and what you see, right? He turned to see. He obeyed the command of Jesus Christ. And here is my favorite part. He said, "I turned to see the voice which spake with me, and being turned, I saw." The man with no eyes, God gave sight through dry sockets, my Lord and my God. John, the man whose eyes were plucked out, boiled in oil and exiled in torment, turned and saw. How can that happen? You see, you cannot be the same once you've encountered the risen Savior. John's vision was restored in the Spirit. And I'm speaking into your lives right now. Everybody who is listening to this sermon, whether it's right now live or whether it's on a CD, it makes no difference. Whatever Satan has stolen from you, God is about to restore in the Spirit. You see, it has to take place in the Spirit before it can come into the natural. God, as I live and breathe, if mark this down as this day that you heard this message. What the enemy has stolen from you, God is about to restore. You call somebody in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, my Father. If it's your vision for what God has for you and the devil, you've allowed the devil to steal your vision, God's going to give it back to you. If it's your hope, God's giving it back to you right now. If it's your joy, God's giving it back to you right now. If it's your peace, God's giving it back to you right now. Makes no difference what it is. If it's finances that you have need of, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I believe he's given it back. right now, right now. You call him Messiah. Now, I want you to notice this thing. Not everything that John saw was pleasant. In Revelation chapter 5, John begins to weep and struggle with the events he sees unfolding. But in verse 5, John is consoled. So no matter what you see, no matter what is happening, you're going to be consoled with the fact that John was consoled in the same way. He says, and one of the elders said unto me, weep not, for behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, to loose the seven seals thereof. John saw the Lion of the tribe of Judah. John saw Jesus, the resurrected Lord. See, Jesus is the real deal. He's the real Lion. The devil is a counterfeit for the real Lion of the tribe of Judah. I wonder, do you know him today? Have you seen him? Have you seen the Lord? Do you have a vision of Christ? He's the only answer for these troubled times in which we live. He's the only comfort and the only help that you need. He's your restoration and he's your hope. He's all that you've got and he's all that you need. I wonder, do you know him? Have you seen him? Church, I can tell you, I have seen the Lord. I don't care whether people believe me or not. I don't care whether people believe me or not. John did not care whether people believed that he saw the resurrected Savior. He didn't care. He still believed and he still professed and he still preached it. Paul didn't care whether people believed him or not. He still believed it. He still preached it. He still lived it. I'm going to tell you something. On April the 11th, around 4 o'clock in the afternoon, so I was driving down that road, my brakes locked on that motorcycle, and it began to flip over and over. And I was ejected off of the motorcycle. The motorcycle hit a truck, and I was laying in the middle of the oncoming traffic lane. And that motorcycle come back, and it hit me. And it knocked me and spun me around out of the direct path of oncoming traffic where they were able to actually move around and get away from me. And all of this is going on. The motorcycle hit me, and it broke my wrist, and I had road rash all the way up my arm, from my knees all the way to my head, and a severe third-degree burn. I believe the exhaust pipe from that motorcycle burnt me, that third-degree burn on my arm, but it knocked me out of oncoming traffic. People that were watching the wreck said it looked like somebody picked me up and lifted me off of that motorcycle. As I'm flipping through the air, I see nothing. I'm not in this present world in which we live. I was taken to a place of brilliant white light, and I looked up, and all I could see was the face of my Savior with the most brilliant blue eyes I've ever seen in my life, with the long hair and the beard, beautiful chocolate brown hair and chocolate brown beard, beautiful dark olive skin face. His eyes were like the deepest pools of water I've ever seen, the bluest blue I have ever seen in my life. And when he spoke to me, he did not open his mouth. He spoke through his eyes. And he said three words. See, now, the Lord speaks to me the way I can understand it. He speaks to me just like I talk to him. I talk to him like my friend, you see, because he's my best friend. And I spoke to, when I speak to the Lord, I speak to him just like I'm talking to you right now. And when he speaks to me the same way. And he said three words to me. He said, I've got this. I've got this. And he smiled the biggest smile. And within a second, I was coming to myself. I was laying on my face in the road, trying to push my way to get up. Realized that when I pushed down, my left wrist was broken. I told him, I said, my wrist is broken. And I tried to get up. My cousin Thomas, he came running up, and he began to pray. And what he began to say, God have mercy, God have mercy. I couldn't breathe. My lung was punctured. Four broken ribs. I didn't know it, but I just knew I couldn't breathe. And Connie Stone, a member of our bike ministry, she comes and lays her hand on my chest, and she commanded breath to come into my body. Over and over, I could hear her commanding breath to come, and within just a moment, breath began to come into my body. My body was torn to shreds, four broken ribs. Torn kidney, torn adrenal gland, internal bleeding. They thought I had my liver was torn. I was beginning to bruise from internal bleeding coming up through my to the where they could see it. When the paramedics got there, I heard them calling in that the possibility of a torn liver and internal bleeding. I heard from that point forward everything. Broken, shattered wrist. I had a concussion, severe concussion. I have blood pooling in my eye. I have on the surface of my eye, inside my eye, and behind my eye, between my eye and the optic nerve and my brain. Church, I was laying on that road dying. Literally, not a fallacy, not a thought, not he might make it. I was dying. I was dying. I wasn't worried about myself. I did not give the first thought to me because I knew when I died, I'm going to heaven, period. I'm not concerned at all. Did not scare me in the slightest. But what I did pray was, Lord, if it be your will to spare my life, my wife needs a husband, and my babies need a daddy. I said, God, please, for their sake, if it's not my time to go, spare my life. And they, the Soldiers of Mercy, which is our bike ministry, they gathered around me and they commanded life. They commanded me to live. They all began to pray in one accord and in one mind. And they began to command life to come into my body. As I began to slip in and out of consciousness, the ambulance, it took it about 20 minutes to get there. It felt like it was about 2 seconds to me, anywhere from 2 seconds to 5 minutes. I couldn't tell you, but on the next thing I know, I hear the voice. I hear the ambulance. And as soon as I get on that ambulance, everything. I remember everything from that point forward. Everything. When I get on that ambulance, I remember calling in saying the liver bleed, the kidney bleed. They believe that there's multiple internal organs hemorrhaging. I remember them talking in that nature on my right side. They could hear the pneumothorax where the oxygen is gathering between my lungs and my rib cage inside, and that they were going to have my lung collapsing. They were going to have to put in the chest tube to reinflate my lung. I could hear them talking on the ambulance. When I got to the hospital, they brought me in. I could hear them working. They had this collar on my neck. I remember it all. They thought that I might have even broken a vertebrae in my neck. They're being very cautious. They're being very careful, and I can hear them talking. And the paramedics above, the voice of all the noise of that ER, I hear paramedics. And I hear him, I felt him put his hand on my shoulder, and he began to command life to come into my body. Child of God, I have walked through the valley of the shadow of death, but the Lord was there. He was there all the time. He was there all the time. And God spared my life, and he raised me up. And this is the first sermon I've preached since I've been in this accident. And I want to tell you that I couldn't do this without the power of an almighty God overshadowing me, because I can't even breathe. And God's given me the words to tell you tonight that if you don't know him, don't risk it. Don't risk another day without knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Don't risk another moment. Don't risk another hour. Don't take your life into your own hands. Put your life in the hands of the man that stilled the waters. Put your life in the hands of the man of Galilee. Put your life in the hands of Jesus Christ, for he will take care of you. I had the ultimate sign that God was taking care of me, because once my bike hit me and it went sliding back across the road into the ditch, and my body went sliding across the road on that hard asphalt. Across the road from me was a tall, homemade cross that a person had made and put in their front yard. And as I live and breathe, the shadow of the cross where the horizontal and the vertical bars meet, landed right in my chest. The song says, as we journey on towards heaven's shining goal, we may suffer pain and loss, but troubles only bring us blessings if we live in the shadow of the cross. Are you living in the shadow of the cross, where the Savior took your place? By the cross he'll lead us to that home above. There we'll meet him face to face. One day we're going to meet him face to face. Eventually, you're going to meet God. Why not now? Why not today? If you want to know the Lord that carried me when I couldn't even walk, if you want to know the Lord that protected me through this entire ordeal, that's given me strength, that's given me power to fight the devil in this hour, if you need the power of the Lord in your life right now, if you're tired, sick and tired of having the counterfeit junk, and you want the real joy, the lasting joy, see, the counterfeits are the drugs and the alcohol and the prostitution and the things that only satisfy for a moment. But you see, the joy of the Lord is an everlasting salvation. This water that you drink that you'll never thirst again, it is joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's being caught up into the rapture of the Holy Spirit, and it's higher than any drug can take you. It's a better feeling than any drunk you could ever get on, and there's no coming down. There's no morning sickness afterwards. There's no after. There's no hangover. There's no shakes. There's no DTs. It's all glory, and it's all wonderful, and it's all rest for the righteous, and it's wonderful glory. And I'll tell you, there are hard times, and I know there are hard times because I'm in one now, but child of God, I'm coming out. The devil cannot keep me down. He might have knocked me down, but he can't keep me down because Jesus Christ picked me up and he put my feet to walk on a steady path again. If you have fallen or if you're down and you want to know this Lord, if you want to have this same lifting up power that Jesus has wrought in my life in these past days, all you've got to do is call upon him. Would you do it tonight, today, whenever it is that you're listening? Would you do it right now? Would you do it? I'm going to pray a prayer of salvation. Please pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm sorry for my failures. I'm sorry that I've let you down. I'm sorry that I've lived like I didn't need you, because I need you. I need a Savior, and you're the only Savior of this world. There's no other way to heaven. You said in your word, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Lord, I believe that scripture. I renounce all false gods. I renounce all witchcraft. I renounce all drugs, all alcohol, all fornication, all adultery. I now renounce all sin, all sickness, all despair. I renounce depression. I renounce mental torment. Torment of mind, I renounce it. And I accept the blood of Jesus as my only way to heaven. I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. This day, I am saved. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, tell somebody. The Bible says if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, you'll be saved. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, then call in, and Brother Skip's going to come on in just a moment, and he's going to give you a phone number that you can call and get some literature about what's the next step after being saved. But I've got one more word before we go on, and I turn it back over to Brother Skip. The Lord is lifting and raising up a church for this last days that will not care what color people's skin is, how much money they make, what job they have. It doesn't matter. The Lord is raising up a last days church, a church for the outcasts, a church for those who have been pushed down, shoved away, and rejected. Find a godly, Bible-believing church and get a part of a church, because God is calling to you. There's some of you right now that have been out of church for so long you wouldn't know how to act, and that's wonderful because you've got all the churchiness out of you. Find a good, godly church and let God use you. Let God use you in those churches. Some of you thought your ministry was done. Let God use you. Come on this line. This line is church. We are having church. If you cannot get to a building because of your job, come on this line. Listen and pray and ask questions and seek and work with the brothers and sisters on this line. God will use you in this last days. May God bless you tonight. May He make His face to shine upon you. May He give you peace. May He pave your path with butter and give you everything that you need to make it to the land flowing with milk and honey. God bless you tonight.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Powerful message, powerful testimony. Thank you for sharing. Appreciate it a lot. Thank you, brother. Man.
God bless you.
So if you said that prayer with Pastor Aaron, if you didn't, and maybe you wish you had you just want to talk to somebody, feel free to call 816-729-6649. That's some literature. We'd send you a Bible and some literature to help you along. And also we have a CD ministry as well. If you're interested in any of the CDs we have, you can call that number as well. You can write at P.O. Box 136, Bates City, Missouri, 64011. And we also, this line here has a playback number too that you can call and listen to this particular message or other messages on well on there at any given time, and you can share with friends and family. And that number is 712-432-0469. And this recording number is 178. Feel free to call that number at any time. Thanks for joining us here tonight. God bless.